And we are live on Boss Barrel Radio. I am Jeffrey Brewer.
Hi, I'm Griffin Hoffman.
Sweet. Episode 161, right?
Who even knows anymore?
There's a number at the top of this Google Doc. I'm looking at it.
I am not.
I'm going to change it right now. Episode 704.
The Midwesternet does not allow me to view a Google Doc in my basement.
You're having Google Doc troubles? Tell me more about that.
I'm having troubles of all the internet variety.
Well, you know, on the third pass here, you sound pretty good. I will say that.
Oh, good, good. I think it's because all the teens have exited the buffer zone and all of their weird Wi-Fi leeching devices.
Donald
have
Trump
gone
is no them. Longer squatting on your internet. After the Trump Tower Wi-Fi system got hacked, he was like, "I got to go somewhere."
To the Hilton sisters.
What's that?
To the Hiltons.
No, he's a classy guy. He's above that.
Give it time.
He only dates foreign heiresses and bimbos.
Oh, you know what would be a cool president? A cool president who was in a scandal and owned up to it. Boom, trumped.
President doesn't pretend not to be an idiot. Enough politics.
Ugh, get those away from me. More like yeah. Paula Yicks.
We're not going to talk about the race for the Speaker of the House here. We're here to talk about video games.
Video games.
And maybe also some other stuff, which is at the top of this. I'd love to hear about it. Specifically, Heroes Reborn. Were you hoodwinked into watching that program?
What is Heroes Reborn and what did I write?
You just wrote Heroes Reborn.
What is that? What is Heroes Reborn?
I think Heroes Reborn is the reboot of Heroes. I believe the heroes are reborn.
Oh my god, this has been forever ago. This thing that I wrote was once upon a time when the day was you could sing happy birthday again.
Wait, is the day no longer you can sing happy birthday again?
No, but it was like the most grandiose festival of a day where everybody was singing happy birthday.
Are you
going to
start this podcast with happy birthday? Are you going to put that in post?
You know, I was thinking about that to do starting the podcast with happy birthday, but then I realized, oh my god, it's 3 weeks since that news broke. So,
well, Jesus. We're pretty current over here at Boss Barrel Radio, so you know.
Yeah, absolutely. what's the most current news that I know? That boxer lady was on ESPN.
That's no man.
The Cubs are doing well.
The Fallons. Jimmy Fallon, she played Pokemon.
Jimmy Falcon. That's old news, dude.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, she was like first correspondent on ESPN or something like that as a lady fighter.
Yeah, no, but she's a lady Pokemoner too. Apparently she used to be a mod on a Pokemon forum.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. No. Ronda Rousey was a mod on a Pokemon forum.
No way.
Way. She still plays.
Does she have like the biggest ban hammer ever? Like, is she renowned for her ability to machop the crap out of fools?
I don't know, but I do know that she apparently also thinks that 9/11 was an inside job. So you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. Don't put your heroes on a pedestal, folks.
This is true. This is very true. Mm-hmm. You should put us on a pedestal, though, because we know what's up.
Exactly.
We're the only people who belong on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Speaking of heroes on a pedestal, Heroes Reborn.
Yep.
Don't try to dodge this one.
What are you trying to get out of me? I don't remember what I was writing it down for. I was writing. Like,
did you watch it?
No, I was like just writing topical things on the document.
Can we do? How about airplane food? How do you feel about airplane food?
Oh, don't get me started. And you know that one cart at the supermarket with the wheel? It's all squeaky and all
yeah,
over the
I
place.
Know, right?
Oh.
How come you always get it?
I know.
This is wild.
It's hilarious because it's true. And real.
I mean, statistically, you get it some of the time, and other times you don't get it. But mm-hmm. Isn't that just crazy?
It's so crazy, because it happens to me. Also, what's the deal with chickpeas? Are they chicks, or are they peas?
How come Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island?
Why do you park on a driveway and drive on a parkway?
What is that guy's name? Stephen Lynch, I think it is, or something like that?
Rodney Dangerfield?
He does those. He does those terrible jokes. I don't think Dangerfield, he can't get respect.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I thought the chicken was his, though. Yeah, anyway.
Maybe we should go back to our typical wheelhouse here of talking about video games.
The only thing we know anything about.
Want to talk about games we're playing?
No, why don't you grill me more about Heroes that I didn't watch?
So, okay, I have a question for you. Uh-huh. The guy, the Japanese guy's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about his plot line.
He can stop time and he says, "Yatta!" Like, I did it. And then he also says, "Nissan Vasa."
Does he get to wear a Kill la Kill style bikini in it?
Only in the webisodes, actually. Sponsored by Nissan Versa.
It's funny because I don't have television, so I don't know if like they're still promoting that show, but I just imagine that it will get canceled. Like, it'll become bad. Like, it'll be a microcosm of Heroes. So the first episode will be really good, and then every other episode will be bad. Each episode will be indicative of a Heroes season.
Oh, I get it. Like, yeah, a metisode.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, I have to try so hard to keep this cat from not walking on the electronics.
Oh no.
He's being a
butt. Get away, cats.
Being a butt.
No, that's too bad.
Okay, now he's being cute.
Let me see what else can I ask about Heroes.
Nisa Vasa.
Scott Sylar. Slowell.
Yep.
Siler?
Oh, yeah, Zachary Quinto.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him.
How about the man with the horn-rimmed glasses? I liked him quite a bit as a character.
He's still in it.
That's great.
They took all the people that were cool, and then they're like, yeah, you guys can stay.
Is Hayden Panettiere in it yet?
Hayden Panettiere?
Yeah, Panettiere. Thank you.
No, she's too busy getting stabbed in horror video games.
Dan, is she like 45 now?
I think she may have aged about 30 years since the last Heroes franchise thing happened.
I just think that she and Sean Johnson are the same person.
Sean Johnson, I need to look that individual up.
She's the Olympic gold medal gymnast from Iowa, Des Moines, and they look very similar.
Oh, see, I don't know anything about Iowa, because what's that?
Yeah, good question.
I understand that it emerges from underground once every 4 years.
Yep, it's the cicada of states.
For the nomination contest, and then it just submerges again afterwards.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty much all we do. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just make sure.
We're like the McRib of states.
Equally unhealthy too.
Yep. Probably, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I have any other pertinent Heroes questions because that show's not very good.
Okay. What questions do you have?
I have a question, Griffin.
Okay.
Have you played any games over the past couple of weeks?
Well, I've completely forgot because I don't have a document in front of me. But
also, would you like to go out with me?
Well, I have this rose and I was going to give it to Kiki, but since you asked so nicely, I guess I'll give it a shot at love.
Starring Tila Tequila.
Starring Tila Tequila.
You remember Tila Tequila's A Shot at Love?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Starring Tila Tequila and Flava Flav's baby, Flavored Tequila.
And then, I don't know how you do Tequila Sunrise. Tila Tequila's Japanese relative?
Yep.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I made it. I made it there somehow.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
I've been playing some video games. A couple. Two, I think.
Okay.
Three, maybe.
You wrote Mario Maker on the Google Doc and nothing else.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that I made that Google document, and then I was like, man, I'm surprised Jeff hasn't, like, pushed out a Google document recently. And that's because it's been so long.
I think, actually, we might be keeping roughly to the 2 to 3 week schedule, which might be, like, the best we've done in 6 months. So, you know.
Yeah,
don't beat yourself up too bad.
We're pretty much nailing, like, a 2.5-week situation.
Yeah, it's the American dream of podcasts. 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. Every man, 2.5 weeks.
Yes, a chicken in every pot. Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I was burping.
By all means.
So I played actually more games than I'm thinking of now. The first... Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Yep. Don't you dare block those burps out. Let them come out live.
No. So I played three games. Let me hit you with them right quick fast here, and then you can tell me which one you want to hear about. I've been playing
Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire. Persona 4 Dancing All Night Long. Two, I've been playing Tony Hawk 5. And
oh,
then
man.
Three, I've been playing Transformers Devastation.
Ooh. these all pique my interest in different ways.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say, we gotta start with... Ooh.
I think we start with the ugly.
I think we start with the ugly, and then we work our way. I think we start with the ugly, we go to the persona crazy, and then we end on the intriguing.
Okay, so we're going for ugly, bad, good in that order.
Yes. Okay. Yes. There you go.
So, ugliest Tony Hawk 5, the fifth entry in the Tony Hawk series.
The fifth element.
Yep. Love. It was love all along. That was it. All of us had it. We just didn't realize it.
All of us had large planks inside of our bodies.
The fourth element was fire, and that was the trickiest because he quit smoking and ran out of matches. Who would have seen that one coming?
Not me.
The sixth element was Bruce Willis's blonde hair. That was the little known touch upon fact of that film.
That was the quintessence that drew the whole thing together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then there was the comedic acting skills of a certain that joke.
I know you're
flat.
Talking about
not Chris Rock. It was his body double.
Tucker?
Yeah, Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker. Yes.
Yeah.
Also a blonde gentleman in that movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Future is full of blondes.
Quite a pompadour he was rocking there.
It was a good pompadour.
It was.
Corbin.
Corbin Blue?
Cordon Bleu.
Of High School Musical fame?
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that is.
Oh, you don't need to know.
Okay.
So, Tony Hawk, tell me about that game.
So, it's taken quite a bit of heat on the internets right now.
I've heard.
And I rented it and gave it a shot. And my initial gut reaction was ho-hum. Like, this... I've been a fan of the Tony Hawk franchise forever, and this game is supposed to be the fifth entry in the series, which, you know, definitely is saying like, hey, we're a return to form. What you liked about Tony Hawk's 1 through 4, we're going to be that and more. And it just totally fell on its face.
And then after falling on its face, it got embedded in the level geometry.
And then you had to restart the level. Absolutely. Or download the 7 to 9 gig patch. So I only played single player offline because I didn't want to download a 9 gigabyte patch on top of the 3 gig install that it had.
So there's two separate patches, one for single and one for online?
So you start the game and it's like, hey, you should update it. And I said, nah. And then, I was like, okay, sure, why not? You usually are pretty quick. And then it was like, you have 9 gigs to download. And I said, okay, let's just play single player. Because what's really crappy about this game is when you're playing single player, you'll like phase into a new level. And then presumably if you're online, you would see a bunch of other players around you and you could like challenge them to trick attacks and competitions and whatnot in certain of the mission levels. But
whoa,
the levels suck. Like the like Tony Hawk 2, you have to like do a nose grind over the quarter or the half pipe on the first level there. So it could be like you go online and then you're like, I'm going to challenge this person who can get the most points off this first challenge of doing a nose grind over the half pipe and then chaining a bunch of crap together to get the craziest score. So you could do that.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm never going to be able to do that because I don't want to download 9 gigs of nonsense for a shitty game and play online with a bunch of people I don't want to play with. And the other thing is the level objectives are pretty crappy. So some of them are like, collect all these ice cream cones, and then if you bail, your head explodes and you lose all the ice cream cones.
Oh.
Or, this pool is filled with beach balls. You need to kick them out of here.
I mean, that kind of sounds like bog standard Tony Hawk stuff, like... Kind of like maybe the implementation on this game was like a lot worse, but you did collect shit in Tony Hawk.
Yes, absolutely. But the difference is, I guess this one's kind of tough to explain because it's very much like a matter of feel. If you're a seasoned Tony Hawk player and you get into this and you're like, hey, you know what I liked about Tony Hawk games? 2-minute missions with interesting objectives that made good use of the level and was a nice challenge that escalated at a good curve and kept me hooked because of that quality. This game, however, tries to do a lot of things but just falls flat very quickly where it's like, okay, you're going to be online. You're going to have a lobby mode where you can skate around, collect the hidden tapes in the skate, and kick over boxes, But then if you ever do a mission, that'll immediately reset any progress that you've done there. So
that's weird.
That's garbage. Special system. Special system is now like a button you trigger, and then any trick you do is like a super trick version of it. So you don't actually have to input commands to do specials anymore, but then that really cheapens doing specials.
Yeah, I would agree, I suppose.
What's the other thing is you have this lobby area where you can skate around and drive up to an objective, but then you can also hit your menu and then just immediately start the objective for wherever you want in the map. So it's like, why even do that?
So there's no point. Yeah,
there's no point.
It's not, in thinking about it, the sound of the mission objectives, maybe they're more like nonsense, like MMO style things where you just are doing shit for the sake of doing it. Would that be a safe description of those kinds of things? Or like, are they just tedious? Like what makes them just so terrible? Well,
the problem is the shift has gone from you have 2 minutes to run through this level and get as many of the objectives completed as possible. Now it's you're always going to be in this level, so we have reasons to keep you in it, like collecting skate or getting the hidden tapes while you're just buzzing around going from objective to objective. Yeah. But there's no
So it's like open world, and then you start the mission in the open world?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
But then you can also start it from anywhere on the map, so it's not really open world because you don't need
to traverse. But you're only on one map the whole time.
No, there's multiple maps. Many, many maps, except they all suck, and they never tell you that you've unlocked a new map except in the form of a trophy.
Oh, that's really weird. And meta-narrative stuff.
Like, yeah, I got a trophy that's you like... progressed. You got sand in your shoes, and I was like, what does that mean? And then I was like, man, I want to try a different map because this one sucks. And then I went to the menu, and they're like, oh, I have the beach open now. Great.
That is so lazy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I can't imagine building a game around using trophies to deliver important, like, not plot beats, but like tell you important shit about your progression.
Hey, you know, it's also really great. You can't change levels unless you back out to the title screen.
Nice.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they kept that kind of hidden.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
As we've alluded to multiple times, it is a glitchy mess, right?
I did not suffer from like the horrid game breaking glitches, and I think that's because I wasn't playing online. From all accounts, when you play online, that really screws with everything. But what I did suffer from was just horrible hitchiness. So I get to the beach level, and there's a lot of particle effects going on with like fires and stuff. So anytime you get near this thing, it just drags to a halt, and it becomes essentially unplayable.
Wow. Considering the graphics look so bad, I'm amazed that it's like so... I mean, you know, we're just probably horribly optimized code, but that's pretty embarrassing.
Well, I'm pretty certain that it came out on not just current gen stuff.
Oh, it came to PS3, Xbox 360 as well.
I want to say it did, but I'm not certain. But that seems like a pretty Activision choice to make.
That's true, yeah, that is true. They're like the only publisher still supporting last gen.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun to play a Tony Hawk again, but they did a lot of weird things with it. They took out flatland tricks, and they added like a stomp. So if you're going to grind on a railing and you press triangle before you get to the railing, you just drop out of the air immediately, which is cool. Like, you kind of have a little bit more air mobility and like to adjust on the fly. But as somebody who likes to preload their stuff, yeah, it doesn't work for me. You know, it'd be like if you're ready to do a manual and you hit the up down and you like then do a trick instead of getting ready to manual because you did the manual command too early. That would be a huge bummer.
Yeah, because you'd wipe out then, right?
Yeah, and the rotation seems a lot stiffer than before, like very locked into like a clock style movement around a rotational axis and less fluid. Oh, wow.
Like the Xenogears style, like when you rotate it, the entire world just turns 45 degrees.
Yeah, it even made the noise. It was like, brrr, like Tactics.
Don't make any comparisons to Tactics. I'll just want to buy it just based on some like impulse. I'll be like,
I didn't get very far in it. There was like a throwback level from old Tony Hawk 2 way late in it. And I'm like, oh man, the only level that I'd actually care about playing is pretty deep within this game. So
yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's not so bad, it's good, which is really what I was hoping to learn from this.
Yeah. Yep.
That would justify me using a service we're not going to refer to by name anymore to check it out.
It's totally worth checking out for a day, or, you know, if you have a friend that has it, like, play it there. But it's definitely not a $60 game, that's for certain, because it's broken.
Oh yeah.
It's a broken
game. I forgot it was $60.
Yeah. I mean it's a patch that's three times the size of the game day one.
Pretty classy.
Yeah.
Then again, big patches are, hey, the big boys are doing that too. You heard about that Witcher 3 patch that's 15 gigs, right?
No. Tell me about that.
Apparently version like 1.10 of The Witcher 3, which I guess is preparing for their DLC, but also apparently it came with like a 13-page document of all the changes the patch made.
Mm.
And it's 15 gigabytes in size.
Woof.
Welcome to the brave new world. I've already filled my PS4's hard drive once.
Well, hey, now you've got more room to fill because of the 3.0 firmware upgrade.
What did they do there?
The biggest one, in my opinion, is now anybody who's a Plus subscriber has 10 gigs of online cloud saving ability.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm. I don't know if I ever... Actually, no, I think I did max out my PS Plus storage, actually. Oh, yeah. Now I think about it.
I did it all the time. They also added, like, YouTube streaming app, maybe, and definitely a Twitch app, which they didn't have before, and then the ability to like export images or short videos to Twitter, things that weren't necessarily compelling to me. But the biggest thing, in my opinion, is the Plus takeaway.
I do think that all that, I see, I'm really in favor of all that integration stuff. I think it's pretty cool. I don't, you know, I probably won't ever use it heavily, but I like that it's democratizing that kind of stuff. I mean, you don't have to have specialty equipment to get your foot in the door on that anymore, mm-hmm, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my main thing is just, you know, just put like six games on there and you've already filled more than half your hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating.
Yep. And then you get like the save and the user data profile, and if you ever play anything that's like an RPG, it will upload all 45, like Dragon Quest Inquisition,
Dragon Age,
thank you, will upload all 45 saves that it makes for you to your profile. Like, great, perfect. Mortal Kombat will flood your online drive with all of your replay data.
I remember there, because I had to go in and manage it once before. Their system for managing online save data is pretty obtuse.
Not great.
Yeah, that's kind of classic Sony for you, though, just really obtuse.
Why would you want to manage it?
Not that I can say that Microsoft in its current iteration is that much better with their OS, but yeah,
sure.
But anyway, so Tony Hawk sucks, but it doesn't suck. It sounds like it doesn't suck enough to like buy it for like the worst game ever. That's also amazing status.
It sucks a whole lot for anybody who's ever played like a mainstream Tony Hawk game, and has for the person that would want to play Tony Hawk 5, it sucks the hardest. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm thinking potentially for somebody who hasn't really had that history with Tony Hawk and is more like, oh, I'll jump in on this arcade crap and play it for a little bit. It's mm-hmm. fun. It's skateboarding. That individual may have a good time, but I can tell you for certain that it is not worth the $60. Like, I don't like to put a value on games and say it's worth a certain money, but a full-priced AAA equivalent, it is not.
Yeah, I feel like when you're on that $60 price point and you're positioned as, like, when you're coming from a huge publisher like Activision, the price judgments can be a little bit more fair. You know, like, if you're pushing the envelope in one way or another, then don't think about price so much. Mm-hmm. Think about what, you know, how they're contributing in ways that are less tangible. Mm-hmm. But if it's just like a straight up, you know, giant publisher, not really risk taking game, I mean, then I think it's fair to think about the price and if you're really getting the value you're putting in. Because it's more transactional, then it's less of like paying for experience, it's more of like paying for a very concrete thing.
Absolutely.
So that sucks, though. I think the writing was kind of on the wall on that one, but it sucks that it was such a letdown, because I want to see more skating games that aren't just Ollie Ollie, which, as we touched upon last time we talked. So.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to see more skating games, though. I think I'm content with just going back and playing Tony Hawk 2 every couple months.
I would love it if there was a competent remaster of those games.
Yeah, that's so a good point.
Enjoy them on current gen consoles, or if they just came to PC.
Yeah.
So they were more accessible to everyday users because they're worth. I think they're an important chapter of gaming history. And
oh my
really
god,
cool.
Like, that would be so good if it came to PC and all the mods people would make for it.
I know. I didn't even think of all that. That'd be awesome, though. Oh man.
I would skate as Randy Savage, dragon from Skyrim, in the tanker level from Metal Gear Solid 2.
Just all you'd only skate as different modded dragons from Skyrim.
Yep, Thomas the Tank Engines.
All the mods you would play would just be ports of different Skyrim mods.
Oh, it's Alicia Steamer, but I have the clean faces and butts on.
I have the realistic nudity mod.
Oh yes. I'll play as Spider-Man, but this time I can see his boner.
Go web.
No, not yet. So I've also been playing a little game called Persona Dancing All Night Long. It's a rhythm game.
Yes, I've heard that.
But it's also barely a rhythm game.
So is it just like mostly a visual novel or what?
If you play the campaign on it and play the story mode, it is pretty much just a visual novel. You'll do like 3 to 4 dance missions per chapter, and then it's a lot of voice acted storytelling.
Are the dance missions the same thing you do in the non-campaign mode, or are they distinct in some way?
They are distinct in the most unappealing way ever, where there are certain things floating around the background that you won't notice anyway.
All right, okay, so they're not distinct at all.
Nope.
Basically,
yeah.
All right. Do you have to do the campaign before you can do the missions on their own?
No, actually, that's how I started. I tried to just do some free play, and I was like, you know, I like the Persona music quite a bit. Give this a feel and see how the button presses are and how everything flows. So I did that first and had a real struggle with it because there's just, in my opinion, the beat placing is totally off. Like,
you told me that. Yeah, I remember you messaging me something to that effect, and I hadn't seen that in other reviews, but
it could just be my fault. It could just be my fault, but it just, to me, it seems like the claps and the slaps and the pads and stuff aren't to the beat of the music, but it's to the beat of the dance. And I'm not watching the dance. I'm watching the notes on the screen.
Rhythm is a dancer.
You said it.
I'll say all the things that are too awful for you to say. Don't worry.
Go for it.
That'll just be my role in life. So go on. Sorry.
No, no problem. Saying. Make your 80s music jokes.
I'm cold right now.
It's
man.
A Paula Abdul of the Souls.
They have to come to me, man. I need to let the music come through me. I can't just you can't just force it out.
No. Yeah, absolutely. So you're doing the missions, and it's a lot of voice acting, and it's all good. And the music stuff is fine too. It's just for me, it's not exactly how I would place the beats. And maybe that's because I was playing like the middle version of it, and just that middle version maybe is enough to kind of throw off the. Is it too? Like, is it too easy yet not hard enough that they kind of have to make acquisitions or they have to make compromises to appeal to both sides of the spectrum? Because when I play on easy, I'm like, oh, geez, this is super easy, and everything's like clap, clap on the beat.
See, that's... I feel like you haven't played a lot of rhythm games because that's literally how, like, all Japanese rhythm games go. Easy is like... what's the word? Patronizing in its easiness.
Yeah.
And then medium, when you first play it, is like the hardest shit you've ever played.
Well, that's why I always start on medium, because I'm like, well, this makes the most sense to start. And then when I play on harder difficulties, it makes sense to me. Like, it's like, okay, I see all the beats, I see where they line up, it's just a matter of getting them, like, my brain to make my fingers go to them.
Something that I've noticed with rhythm games is that sometimes when there's less space between beats,
it's more challenging. It's better. Yeah, sorry.
Easier to do well because it's you don't have to actually count as much. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think that our tendency when we have a downtime is to rush on rhythm games. And when you don't have the downtime, you have a lot more reinforcing beats to help you keep that rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that. I mean, you know, I don't want to discount your experience and with the thing, the inputs being off, but I do recall having that feeling about inputs before and then having to readjust my brain to like actually hit on the beat as opposed to anticipating the beat.
Yeah.
Do you find that you're early often?
When I think about it, I'm early. And when I watch it, I'm early, but then when I kind of find the flow of the music, then I'm usually on beat. But that,
okay.
It usually takes me a bit to get going with it, because all the songs are, you know, very much different in their tempo. So, I don't know. But the one cool thing is, like, the music is all great, and then after I play the game for a little bit, I'm just, like, humming the remixes of the great music. So, I do really enjoy it.
A couple of questions for you. First of all, how is the story?
It is interesting, and I say interesting because it's not great, but what they end up focusing on is, like, this kind of, like, idol mentality, and I find it interesting because as, like, a kind of Japanophile, I, you know, like, the idol scene and, like, the performers, I that's kind of like a blank spot for me in what I understand about Japanese culture. So this game kind of does spend a lot of time talking about like the demands and how these people are just like regular people and what their day to day is and how their mentality is and how they have to like create a persona for themselves to show to the public.
Oh God. And do they hand it up on that one?
It's never handed up like that, but
that's good.
Just that aspect of that culture, I don't know a lot about. So I'm enjoying playing it because I get to see something I'm not used to seeing, and I'm vaguely intrigued by. It's also like inflated to a comical cartoon proportion. Uh-huh. So I take it for what it is, but it's something that you just don't see explored. Typically, it's like idols are fun, hee hee, Domino's pizza. but this is actually, you know, they have some dark stuff in it, and it's pretty cool.
Well, it wouldn't be Persona without it's you know, a generous helping of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Another question for you. Let's say I've never played a Persona game, or I've played like 10 hours of Persona 3 and I didn't like it. Can I play this game without being completely lost or like in over my head or have a bad time?
You will not like it.
Okay. Even if I just come just for the rhythm game elements?
Maybe. In that regard, if you're just playing like the free play for the music and the mashing on the buttons, you could have a good time. I mean, it is delightfully stupid where the Persona characters are like, we're in this realm where we can't do harm or good, so what can we do? Let's just dance with our personas. And then their personas evolve, and instead of having weapons, they have instruments. So when you finish a mission, it's like you summon your persona in the way you would in the original Persona 4 game. And then instead of, like, doing a super move where they summon, like, lightning from the heavens, he summons a bass guitar and rips some sweet chord shred thing. I don't know you've done basses.
But it's so good.
You shred a bass? Yeah.
I love how it's we can do no harm and we can do no good. All we can do is dance.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where I would go.
Can't heal people. Can't hurt people.
There's only one other option in life.
Touch their souls.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It sounds like having no knowledge of the plot would be even better.
It might. That's why I'm saying, like, just doing the free play might be a fun, goofy thing where you're like, look at this. I'm playing a game where this guy's dancing and this lady's doing gymnastics and this lady's kicking. And then all of a sudden, this red flying flower thing is playing a saxophone.
I guess what's so funny to me is, like, it is such a weird spinoff. And it's like, the Persona fan base is so interesting to me because I feel like almost all of them were like, hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
When this game was announced. And I'm like, but it's a dancing game of your RPG.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like if they were like Final Fantasy Dance Off.
And they did that?
Well, they did that, but people were like, I don't know. I feel like the Persona crew they're a tough nut to crack. I feel like I need to get into these games to understand.
It's more of like, it's a more recent group of individuals. Like, there's only been two major Persona games on the radar that have really, like, drawn in a big fan base.
Yeah.
So you only have, you know, say 5 to 7 years of adoration for this franchise. opposed to Final Fantasy, which has been forever and therefore diluted.
So is this like their Pokemon Snap moment, like when they have their first really cool spinoff?
And it's no, like, no, because the fighting game, Ultimax Climax or whatever it was the really cool spinoff, because that's when they had the characters from 3 and 4 meet and interact together and have a cohesive story. You're like, oh, it's the same world. It's not just a disparate story every time.
Uh-huh. But don't they have direct allusions to 3 and 4? I thought they did.
You go to a school and there's somebody who was in the previous game at that school, but it's essentially like literally a cameo where it's like Stan Lee is the old drunk man.
Okay. So this is not Pokemon Snap, which is the only explanation I can come up with. But your explanation is that it's just early enough that people aren't just like totally jaded about the whole thing yet.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
it still feels earnest. It doesn't feel like calculated.
Yes.
Because Alice, they got away with some shit, man. Like, this game is $50. Yeah. I just looked on Amazon. Like, wow. And I know Atlas does that. That's just kind of their thing, but
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, they have a strong but small fan base.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. Well, I'm definitely intrigued by it. You know, I like me some crazy anime shit, and I do love rhythm games, so I don't know. Did you buy that, or did you end up taking that out from a service?
I serviced it.
Okay.
Yep. Which, I don't know. I can't justify getting it right now. I don't know if I will. But they kind of do, like, an interesting thing with the storytelling in it, which was kind of obvious from the start. But I do appreciate. I just don't know where and how long they're going to go with the story. Because the fighting game goes forever.
Really?
You could play that game for years. I mean, the fighting game, there's just much text.
Wow.
Yeah. And the thing
is, it says about 11 hours according to some Amazon reviews that I glanced at.
Mm-hmm. It's all voice acted though. I mean, with the fighting game, there's just a lot of text to read.
Oh, that's not good.
It's fine. It's just like, you know, how much time do you want to spend reading a codex in between fighting games, which you
it doesn't seem like the right medium, like something as kinetic as a fighting game, mm-hmm. and then making you stop and read.
Yeah,
it just doesn't seem like a good marriage in my kind of initial like reaction or whatever. But
but yeah, that's I think Persona Dancing All Night is pretty good. I'm liking it probably more so than I should just because of the Persona aspect of it.
Yeah,
but. You know, they're fun characters that I like to be involved with a little more. So,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, let me know if you feel like you're slipping into that groove more with the rhythm thing, and if the issues still persist, because I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I'll take it with me on my trip this weekend. So
nice.
I'll probably play it a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Keep me posted.
Yeah.
I guess that leads us to your last title you've been looking at, which title. I'm the most intrigued about because I've been considering picking it up. Transformers Devastation. Tell me about that.
Transformers. Well, they're robots in disguise. That's what you need to know from the get-go.
Is the game a gem in disguise?
It's yes. It's the
Was it a transformative experience?
It was the Optimus experience. It made me want to Starscream. But it is probably the best Transformers game. Okay, it's the best Transformers game I've played in a long time. I quite liked the, was it the Ravensoft? The
Fall of Cybertron one or whatever?
Yeah, and the one before that or after it, the Rise of the
Dark Energon. Yeah, I know. The ones from the PS3, Xbox 360 era.
Yeah, what were they?
Yeah. People like those ones. I don't know anything about them. But
I like them a lot. I liked the first one. I really loved the second one. I actually like the online more than actually playing the single player, which is a bizarre thing. But they did a cool thing with like linking the characters together and like kind of like jumping you in between exciting story beat moments, having you play a bunch of different Transformers. So that was really sweet. It's just their treatment of like the overall story was pretty lame. In this one, they go right back to like the old TV show goodness of that, like, super bright color animation. Everything looks like it would be in an episode. The story is big and dumb, as just as it is in, like, a G.I. Joe's or Transformers episode. And then
the
best thing I can say is I feel like I'm playing Bayonetta when I'm playing that game.
Sounds good.
There's a dodge button, and when you dodge correctly, time slows down.
Really? Yeah. They really do love their rewarding the dodge or rewarding the parry, as it were.
Yeah, it doesn't feel quite as mushy in a good way like Bayonetta. Like, you can kind of dodge, like, and get away with kind of...
Yeah, Bayonetta feels pretty forgiving.
Very forgiving. And in this game, it feels like it's trying to be that, but just misses it ever so slightly. Mm. But I think part of that is because they incorporate, like, the transforming ability. Like, you can dodge and you'll roll out of the way, but then if you keep holding the dodge button, your roll will transform you into a robot. Or, conversely, your dodge as a truck will turn you into a robot man.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The one kind of little curveball they throw in is there's, like, an open world environment where you're kind of traversing this, like, city puzzle, doing these little micro challenges where you'll fight a bunch of guys who are flying or fight a bunch of guys who are on the ground or who have shields, or this one's kind of a puzzle where you got to do this stuff in a certain amount of time, or... you know, it's very, very, very simple missions. And then what is your reward? Well, your reward is loot. And that's a crazy thing to say, right?
what do you do with the loot?
When you return back to your base or whatever it is, your loot is essentially, like, rolled. So you could get, like, gigantic ice hammer of cryo freeze, and then that does... It's, like, literally Diablo, where you'll get, like, a level 7 cryo hammer, and... Jesus, Mackie. And then you'll be able to, like, synergize other weapons into it by paying for them, and they'll boost levels, and they'll get new abilities.
Does this stuff show up on your character?
Yep. So, for example, Optimus Prime, if you play as him, he can use every weapon in the game, whereas Bumblebee can only use fists and single swords.
Huh. That's very interesting.
It is really interesting.
I have a question, actually. When you play, are there, like, how do the levels work? Are they just straight up arenas, or are they like navigable areas?
It is the combination of the two. So essentially you have, like, a gigantic sprawling world map that's pretty much cut down into very straight corridors that will then spill out into, like, a arena for fighting, or within the corridor there's something that's more, like, puzzly, like there's a bunch of enemies who are taking cover and you need to dispatch them, or it's, like, a corridor and these enemies have shields, so you need to play very carefully and utilize your shield breaking abilities, which aren't easy to use when you're in a corridor. Or there's, like, kind of like a speed challenge that you have to engage in. Like, there was a boss fight where Megatron is driving away on the dump truck, and you have to go through a highway and chase him down, hitting all these boosts until you can get close enough to punch him off the truck, and then you just keep repeating that until you kill the truck, and then he runs away. And you're like, oh my god, and the truck is another Transformer.
It sounds pretty standard, but also Transformers, so it just gets, like, 10 times more cool points for that.
It does, but it also, like, kind of has the zaniness to a very light degree from Bayonetta, where things are very over the top, but not, like, in a boobs and butt kind of way, in kind of like a, oh, this is funny, Optimus Prime, or Megatron got kicked off a truck he was riding on, and he transforms into a tank, drives to the truck, jumps, turns into a robot, and then lands on the truck. And you're like, that, why?
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as there's the kind of the trademark, like, crazy, zany stuff going on in the cutscenes and in the kind of minute-to-minute action, then that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's very cool. It's a very cool game. It does have a great progression, hook, from what I can tell so far. Like, there's something that says keep playing because, you know, of the loot, and then you can, like, get cash, and you turn the cash into like character upgrade skill points things. So, like, for example, I turned 5,000 coins into, I have a 50% chance to get better drops, or I can regenerate health or something like that. But in order to get that, you have, like, a slider that's like aim your football kick, like, for speed and accuracy sort of thing.
Okay.
And you have to hit within the sweet spot, and there's multiple sweet spots. Some are easier than others, and if you find, like, the most difficult sweet spot, you'll get a better item if you were to hit, like, a garbage region.
Oh, gosh.
So it's a neat little minigame that I'm like, oh, this kind of reminds me of Dragon Age.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, I guess. Wait, what element of Dragon Age has that in it?
Wasn't that in 1 when you were making the magics or something? Or you were doing the upgrades?
I've only played the Inquisition, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Could be, yeah.
But yeah, this game does some really cool stuff, like very high, intense energy, cool, engaging, interesting boss fights. I'm surprised that there's an item collection mentality to it. And
yeah, me
upgrades.
Too. That was kind of a... Yeah, that's not very platinum in my mind. But then again, Scalebound.
Yeah, it definitely... Oh, Jesus, I didn't even think about that. It reminds me of like a sweet synergy between Bayonetta and Anarchy Reigns, where Anarchy Reigns was like, hey, you really like the combat that we were able to give to you, except we don't really know how to do it outside of a... like well-crafted and very expensive and complex story-driven game. How about you just play these shitty little missions with streams of dudes? Like, this one seems to achieve what they are trying to do in that, but make a good balance between the two of those things.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to think about it. It sucks that it's, for some reason, I think what they showed of it didn't make it feel to me like it was going to be a full price game. I hate to go back to the price thing again, since we just talked about it. Care, but at any point were you like, oh, it sucks that this is a full price title, or does it feel like a full fat title?
It definitely feels like a full, well, maybe not. I'd say my gut reaction would be like it's slightly budget priced, like maybe a $50 game or something like that. But after finding like, oh my gosh, you can get these weapons in it, and it has multiplayer where you can take on these challenges with a co-op partner, and there's like all this, you know, side missions and loot and all this stuff that you can do besides like the main campaign. Like when I first saw the game, I thought, oh, this is just kind of like a arena based beat 'em up, and you fight Transformers and it's just beat-em-ups.
That's what I thought, too, yeah, from the footage they were showing. But it sounds like it is a lot more than that. And the multiplayer stuff sounds pretty cool. Is that local only or online or what?
I haven't been able to experiment with it since, you know, I don't have that capacity. so I can't tell you.
All right, well, it sounds pretty cool. I'm glad to hear that you like it, because I was excited by everything I saw. But I definitely got the impression when I looked at it, too, that it was very, like, kind of, it looked kind of budget. It looked like a downloadable, like, you know, $20 title or $30 title with just arena fights. But it sounds like it is a lot more than that, which is kind of what I needed to know.
Yeah. I guess now that when I was saying brawler a bunch, I didn't realize it kind of actually is like an old school side scrolling brawler, but given modern day open world treatment. So
that's fine. I mean, I love my side scrolling brawlers.
Yeah.
Throw some time.
The dynamic of it is going to be that where it's like, you're essentially going from big fight to big fight to big fight, but what you're encountering in between it definitely has a lot of variability and freedom for you to backtrack.
It sounds like a lot of like combat puzzles, kind of like, and I think of Turtles in Time as having like combat puzzles too, where you have to figure out the best way to approach a certain enemy set.
Yeah. And more puzzles beyond just combat, too.
Oh, okay.
Driving puzzles and navigation puzzles, stuff like that.
Okay, interesting.
But never anything that's just like, oop, you're dead. It's just kind of like, oh, you could have done better.
Okay, yeah, everything is graded, I hope, a la Platinum.
Oh, yeah, of course, you know.
Gotta get them grades, man.
You know it is.
My wife the other day was, what's that?
I said, sweet, sweet S-rank.
Yes, my wife the other day was like, what is S rank? And I was like, I don't entirely know. Special? Super?
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's always been there. We don't question it.
It's above A. That's all we know.
Superlative, yes. That's cool, though. I'm glad that's a good little game, because I, you know, after Legend of Korra kind of got a lukewarm reception, I kind of, in my mind, was like, oh, this is like in that same category, but it sounds like it's not.
No, I don't think it is.
That's cool. Awesome. it sounds like, well, is there anything else you've been looking at, or is that pretty much cover what you've been playing?
I think that's it. I can't think of anything else I've been, besides some old stuff, which you can check out. I think I have them up on YouTube now, completely. Gene and I played through, and I have them posted now, finally. We played.
I saw Star Fox on there, and there were some good jokes in the beginning.
Yeah, we did two part on Star Fox, which was kind of fun.
Oh, nice.
We did me playing Star Fox, and then since the path kind of took us in a direction that I didn't want to go, we reset, and then I had Gene playing the Novaria battle with all the other like catchphrase heavy dudes in, and then going beyond that. So it's kind of a longer video, but we show a lot of Star Fox, and like really I think we nailed like showing what is super cool about the game and then getting all those dumb little catchphrases in there too.
Gotta get the catchphrases in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Played a lot of Gunstar Heroes offline. That game's hard. Oh, I forgot that game's kind of hard for me.
Yeah, didn't they just put out a remastered or an arcade port? Or whatever, on 3DS?
That I don't know. We were playing it on the PlayStation 3 that I have the Genesis collection.
I think M2 has been working on all those 3D classics.
Okay.
And I believe they put out Gunstar Heroes. I'll have to look.
Hmm.
That's one like glaring hole in games that I've played. I have not. Because I didn't really have a ton of... that was on Genesis, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I didn't have a ton of Genesis games. I mean, I had the Sonic games, but I didn't, you know, I wouldn't go deep into kind of the more niche stuff that, sure, that, you know, people talk about. Your Shadowrun, your whatever else, Gunstar, etc.
Yeah, Vector Mans.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, I don't either. My Genesis knowledge is pretty limited. But yeah, we did that. We played Sonic 1 and then Mystic Quest. And then you and I did a video of Mega Man Battle Network.
Five. Team Proto Man. So many words.
Yeah, it's a great game though. Really good game.
Yeah, I like that game a lot. I really want to try one of those out at some point. So cool. Yeah. All right. Well,
do you have some games you played?
I have a lot, and I'm gonna try to plow through them quickly. I think I can make them go by quick, even though I have quite a few.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna start quickly with the stuff that I talked about last week, but I finished.
Okay.
Or last time we talked, but I finished since then. So first of all, I don't think we should talk about spoilers on here for various reasons. Although maybe we can have a time when we talk about that where it's clearly marked. But I did finish Metal Gear Solid 5 since we last podcasted. I hadn't at that point.
Oh my god, it has been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah, it has been. Without saying too much, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's kind of all over the internet at this point, but it sucks that is an unfinished game, is what I'm going to say. It sucks that is a game that clearly its ambition was far beyond what it actually was able to achieve.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Let's say, hypothetically, all this Kojima departure stuff never ended up happening and all this, like, Konami... being this heel of the industry never came out and MGS5 came out like it did.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that you would have different feelings about it, or do you think the internet would feel differently about it? Or
I think the internet would feel differently about it. I think I might feel a little differently about it, but I guess I don't feel like I put it on a pedestal right now. Like I feel like I love the stealth gameplay. Uh-huh. But I recognize that it's a flawed product.
Yeah.
Like I have no illusions that it is the greatest title ever made.
Okay. So a very realistic approach to it.
Yeah, it's good. I really liked it a lot, but it is not, it's by no means perfect.
Sure.
And so I guess I haven't like elevated it. So I don't think I would be like, I guess I would question why an unfinished product would be released if you were still there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it helps to contextualize it. So in some ways it does change my opinion, because knowing that he was kicked out, knowing the way that they're going, helps you to kind of understand why this is the way it is. And I guess that does kind of, it does make me feel more sympathetically towards, at least towards him. Towards the game itself, I don't know. I'm not sure if it alters my opinion that much, but maybe towards him, you know, I feel a little bit more for the guy, not for the game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's really funny because, and I don't think this is a huge spoiler, but there, when you finish the first, like, what you think is the first chunk of the game, there's this hilarious trailer which plays, and it's like, coming in chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, it shows this, like this trailer is like absolutely insane. It shows so many different clips of so many disparate things happening. You're like, oh my god, I've like barely just scratched the tip of the iceberg.
Like, right, it's it's the Metal Gear Solid game that I wanted.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I should say, it's the story that I wanted.
Yeah. It's things like, it goes from what I would consider to be a pretty straightforward tale, you know, with a couple of Metal Gear Solid esque twists, to something that sounds like it's going to get like off the wall crazy pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all this promise, and then you start playing chapter 2, and within like an hour, you've seen almost all of the shit they showed you in the trailer.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute. And it's weird because like the true ending of the game kind of just comes out of nowhere.
Yep.
Like, you're just kind of like doing missions, doing your thing, and then it's like, hey, do you want to like find out what's really going on here? Because mm-hmm. you can now.
Yeah.
Like, I just like, I had just done like a side mission, like extract the legendary soldier number 7.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, by the way, you can finish the game now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get the feeling that like somebody from Konami came down there and was like, all right, you got 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Just throw that last mission in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shut it down.
I've got some not too eloquent theories on like how this may actually be one of the worst games ever, but I don't want to voice them because I haven't really had a chance to digest it. And I'm not saying that I dislike the game. I'm saying that I really did like it. But like taking a step back and looking at it objectively, I think that this may be not so hot. Or I should actually say a very hard sell. But maybe we can chat about that sometime off the air, and I can collect my thoughts and then we bring them on here at some point.
Yeah, or maybe it might even be a good thing for a Game of the Year talk.
There we go. I'm sure
it'll show up on the list. Like, here's the thing. Like, there are issues with this game, no doubt, and I'm sure we all have different feelings on them. But I think the game, the minute-to-minute gameplay is such that it's probably going to be a contender on Game of the Year list.
Oh, absolutely.
It's,
yeah.
It's going to be on there somewhere because just playing it is really fun.
Right.
But yes, in terms of like plot and narrative and like marketing versus reality, there are some issues there.
Right. If I was suffering like long-term memory loss and somebody was like, hey, you really, really like the Metal Gear franchise, the new game's coming out, maybe this will help jog some of the things that you really enjoyed about it, or at the very least, you'll enjoy this game quite a bit. And I'll play, and I imagine I would play and I'd be like, wow, this plays really well and is such a cool game. Like, I've been only playing games on the modern consoles and this is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would be getting what that person would be telling me I should be getting from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Overpromise, underdeliver. I mean, you know, it'll be hard to separate. I guess it will be hard to separate for many, like the game itself as a product, like kind of semi in a vacuum, versus like everything that surrounded it in terms of the hype and then the implosion at Konami. So so that'll be a conversation that we should have, I think, at a later date. But there's definitely a lot to talk about there. But anyhow,
what else you got?
I finished it and it's good. but anyway, next, Plague Knight, the Shovel Knight expansion.
Mm.
Finished that up too. Really like it still. It was, you know, I mentioned before that it's a lot harder than Shovel Knight, and I think you had that same experience. Did you end up finishing that, by the way?
No, I haven't gotten any further beyond the first level, I think.
Okay. It is a lot harder, but it really does feel like a different game. And, you know, I mentioned before that you have kind of the potions and you can mix and match all the different abilities. Like, you can change your fuse length and you can change your bomb arc and you can change your bomb reagents. So you have all these different attacks. That's really cool. Fighting the bosses is really cool. And all of them kind of like it's really cool because the last boss, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler. The last boss, is the Enchantress or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, from the original game.
Yeah.
And fighting the Enchantress with Plague Knight is really cool because your bombs necessarily destroy. I don't know if you recall, but when you fight her, she's on like a platform made of destructible blocks.
Huh, no, okay.
Okay, well, she is.
I remember bouncing off a shield, and that's about it.
That's like the true final battle. But before that, you fight her on a platform of destructible blocks, uh-huh. and she's like destroying them while you fight her. It's doubly hard with Plague Knight because his bombs just blow the shit out of those platforms.
And you can fall off that platform yourself.
And you can fall and just die.
Yeah.
Okay. I basically lost all my gold on that battle, but I had a great time. And it's just a really good game. Like, it is the best. It is the most surprisingly like full featured free DLC character swap I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a story. They go out of their way to make it somehow fit with the Shovel Knight continuity, which is weird but also hilarious.
Yeah, it was really cute to see that part.
Yeah. So it's just real good. It's free too, so really everyone should just give it a shot and
see. Except it's a pain in the ass to actually make happen
on the 3DS. Yeah, on the older 3DS versions, which sucks.
So you have to put in a code.
Had you not beaten the game before?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's just some weird compatibility crap with the 3DS version. I had the Wii U version, so it just was already installed, and I just loaded the game when it was there.
Nice.
So my experience was the complete opposite, but I did hear about the 3DS issues, so. What's that?
They were prevalent, but easily surpassed after it was just like, yo, you need to put in like a Contra-style Contra code to get this thing to start. I was like, oh, okay, that's crazy.
Yeah, it sucks that people had to Google around, but definitely worth trying, you know, for the cost of free. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, moving along, I checked out Grow Home, which you had talked about previously, Griffin.
Yes.
And my take on that game, I guess I would describe it as way more fun than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
Like, I play it, and I'm like, this is a very modest little game, but it is somehow just, like, stupidly fun. And really all you're doing, as far as I can tell, there's some kind of meta objectives and like mini things. Like you mentioned you can go bring items from the game world over to have them scanned.
Yeah.
But your primary goal seems to just be to climb in various ways. You climb by growing plants. And just doing that is like the funnest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It's got like a really nice kind of like grab, and like you have a grab system. You have a floating system you can use with like limited floating. That's with renewable resources, and you can swap the float for other types of like air movement.
Maneuverability things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, it's so stupidly fun to play. Like, it kind of controls really badly, but it's also incredibly charming for it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's like it's like Octodad if they made the game fun to play.
I love how when you grow the plant, you feel like you're driving drunk.
Yeah. It's just the right amount of like wiggliness right at the start, and then just the amount of control you can get, and then just the right amount of I'm not gonna make it at the end.
I know. But then if you don't make it, it totally doesn't matter because there's like eight other plants on that plant.
Yeah. Yo, dog, if you like plants, put plants in your plants.
I think that it really stokes that like desire to like. It definitely is like a well-crafted exploration game. Like just like mm-hmm. wanting to find out what is at the next level is very like enticing. Like just like, I wonder what the hell I'm going to climb into next.
Yeah. Getting that next level of like what will the next obstacle be? Obviously bigger and wider, but like what will I see on that way?
Aesthetically, what will I encounter? I mean, it does a good job of kind of wowing you quick. Like when you mm-hmm. the first time you climb, you like emerge. Or maybe it's the second time you like emerge into a really cool like waterfall donut shaped area.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
Which definitely has me stoked to see what's next. But it was free on PS Plus last month. I don't think it's free anymore.
I think it's passed. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would pay like $20 for it. I'm really glad that it was given to me, and I'll probably finish it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure where I would stand on that. But it's fun. It's a really good time. And if you really enjoy exploration. With kind of some kind of low pressure platforming,
mm-hmm.
Which can be it can be insanely frustrating, but there's no penalty for screwing up.
Yeah, to me, if I want to put like, since we've been talking value so much this episode, it kind of fits in that like Steam game I would put on a wish list and wait till it drops in price, because though it does look really fun and watching other people play it, it seems intriguing, like. Paying that full price for it, for what I know I'm getting into, may not be worth it in my eyes. But that could be different for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
But
I feel like it's a game that's best enjoyed as a gift from a service or from some person. That's a great way to say it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is a delightful little gift.
Yep. And also to go hand in hand with that, it's just a nice little, it's like a nice little snack game that you can go and sit down with and play, you know, 30 minutes and be like, oh yeah, that was cool. I grew some things. I floated around. I fell into the water. I found a sheep, all this stuff. And then you can walk away and it's, you know, you're good to not play it again for a while.
Yeah. And I think 30 minutes is a good increment because the controls are like bad. Like they're not like particularly good. I'm going to say.
They take some getting used to, for sure.
Okay, fair enough. You struggle from time to time.
Yeah.
So I could see it leading to frustration. It's not the kind of game where you want to get mad at it. Because, that's going to ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving right along, checked out a couple of demos. Yes. First off, I looked at The Legend of Legacy, which is a great RPG
League of Legends.
Not quite. Similarly tedious, some might argue, but no, it's not League of Legends. The Legend of Legacy, kind of known more by the pedigree of the people behind it than the actual title of the game or anything like that. Most of the people who worked on it are over the Saga series.
Oh, okay.
Over at Square Enix, but these are all people, I guess, who have departed the company, and they went to work with this kind of like shitty kind of budget tier publisher named Furyu.
Bless you.
Which is basically borrows a lot of Saga-esque elements. And by that I mean your characters learn abilities mid-battle, like by awakening skills when you use the relevant weapon. A lot of plot going on, and there's some weird experimental shit. And people probably aren't going to like it. That's how I would describe Saga games.
Sure. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. Basically, the minute-to-minute gameplay, like I said, you're kind of these RPG dudes that there's really no story to speak of. You're just kind of, you're on an island, and you're exploring it because isn't exploring an island cool? Pretty much. There's seven characters, and they all have different motivations, but it seriously does not matter. Like, the motivations are, like, as follows. Like, I played the frog, which is the cutest character, and he's like, I want to awaken my other frog people! And then the game starts, and then it doesn't matter.
Always frog people. Be getting more frog people.
Like, literally, he says, like, two lines. He's like, I'm awake now. Now to get my bros. And then the next scene, you're on a carriage with two other random party members, and they're like, we're party members. Pleased to meet you. And he's like, hey, party members, join my party. And they're like, okay.
We've been adventuring for years long. How nice to meet you.
Literally, you ride in a carriage with your two party members. It's the second scene in the game. You're in a carriage with them going to the island. And they're like, hey, guys, do you want to explore the island together? Sure. And then the game starts, and the game is literally, so you wander around in like small rooms, which you need to map by just exploring every nook and cranny. Essentially, just like it's not to the level of like Etrian Odyssey.
Okay,
it's so basically you just walk in an area, and it's not on that level. Okay. It's more like you just walk on an area, and then like that and the surrounding area just gets filled in. And once you've like walked on enough parts of the map, then it just autofills the rest.
Okay.
So basically, your minute-to-minute action is just walking around maps to fully explore them and fighting battles against like the same four mobs just over and over and over again. Yeah. It's really not a good game by like any. I was having a really good time playing this demo, though. I really don't know why.
Huh.
Probably because I like enjoy RPG tedium. But there's nothing particularly great about it. It's got a really weird kind of obtuse magic system involving aligning yourself with different spells, but it's not like good. It's just weird. Okay. You have to like forge contracts forge a contract before you can cast any spells, but then the enemy can steal your contracts and
it reminds me of like Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. Ugh. Like with licenses and whatnot.
That was licenses was 12. You mean the violations?
Yes, there you go. Violations. Yeah. Yeah.
You could get soccer penalties. You got a red card or a yellow card.
Yeah. It's so world aware. The beautiful game.
Yes. And then the head judge, I believe, was involved in a bribery scandal.
Sure, why not? Yeah, that's about it.
Step down.
Yep.
You figured out where I was going with that
I did, yeah. But then there's this guy that just came in there and threw a bunch of gill at him, and he was so embarrassed.
So, yeah, it's not really a good game. But, hey, if you really enjoy Saga game and you have some weird obsession with characters sparking abilities mid-battle, then check it out, because they do that.
How much how much time do you get with a demo? Is it a time thing, or is it a...
This is actually pretty cool. This is one thing I will say to this game's credit. So the demo actually lets you just start the game. And you can explore the first two areas, which, you know, is depending on how you want to play it, you can get a lot of gameplay out of this. I put in a couple, you know, good, I don't know, like 4 or 5 hours probably playing these first two areas. Yeah, well, I kind of overdid it.
And that's on what system? Device? Device you're playing it on?
The new 3DS system.
Okay. Okay.
Made by Nintendo.
Okay.
So it lets you actually start the game, and then once you get to the third area, it's like, hey, you need to buy the full game before you can play this, but you can go back to the other areas if you want, and you're free to play in those first few areas as much as you want. And then once you get the game, you can transfer your save file into the game, and then you can keep playing.
Okay.
I thought it was one of the best implementations of a demo I've ever seen, actually.
Nice.
And I know it's been done in... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, because I find this really frustrating when I'm listening to podcasts, say the name for me one more time, because instead of having to make listeners scrub back to when you started talking about it.
Sure, it's The Legend of Legacy.
Okay, Legend of Legacy.
The Legacy of Legends. Of Legaia.
Legends of Legumes.
The Legion of Legacies.
Legolas Lego Town.
The Legoland Legends. I'm kind of hating on... There's not anything particularly amazing about it, probably. But I did play it for a while. So, you know, maybe you'll get addicted to.
Sure. It's a free demo. May as well check it out.
Yeah, it's a free demo. You should try it.
Okay.
You should really check it out just to see what you think. Because, you know, free shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of free shit, hey, did you hear about the new game that Lab Zero is working on called Indivisible?
Yes. Those are the Skullgirls people?
That's the creator of Skullgirls, yes.
Yeah, tell me more about
that, though. They are working on... Yes, I will tell you more about it because I played the prototype that they put out. So Indivisible is a... Uh-oh. Well, very much like Valkyrie Profile, actually.
Oh.
Did you play Valkyrie Profile?
Before you get going, Jeff, I think we need to take a quick break and reset internet connections due to choppiness. Kind of lost a bit of there.
Okay.
So,
I will go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's take a stop quick here, and we'll do a check and then get back.
Sure thing.
All right.
Hey, have you heard that rumor?
Huh? Which one?
When you look at some website at midnight, there's this weird video that plays on its own. It's hard to really make out much at first, but you can totally see this idol. When you watch the video to the end, you get taken away to the other side, and you never wake up.
Please, you senpai, could you help me out? I want to save them.
Of course. Count me in.
It's gonna be our dancing that beats them this time around, right?
You mean that midnight stage stuff?
Those girls are being held captive, right, Risa-chan?
This does seem to demand an investigation.
Investigation team, let's move! We'll do everything it takes to save everyone.
Let's get serious!
Time to fire ourselves up!
It's us or no one! We can't lose!
That's right! We gotta win this for everyone's sake!
Well then, let me add to this rhythm.
Nice one, Nanako-chan!
Come on, dance with me!
Looking good, Chie.
Thanks, Yukiko. Risa-senpai is incredible.
Time for the highlight of the show.
Right. And we're back.
We're back.
So I think we were talking about the Indivisible game from them Lab Zero peeps.
Yeah, that alpha you tried, or prototype.
Yes. So they're doing an Indiegogo kick fund me. One of those things. I think it's an Indiegogo.
Kick me, go-go?
Yeah, asking for like a cool $1.5 million or something to make their game. And it plays more or less like a 2D side-scrolling. Basically, it plays like Valkyrie Profile, as far as I can tell.
Okay, I'm not familiar with what that is.
I'll give you a I'll give you a description of that in a second. The other ingredient, just before you, before I get into that, is Metroid stuff.
Oh, everybody's favorite.
Like wall jumping to traverse grid-like environments, finding items that help you reach previously inaccessible areas. Like, I found an axe that helped me cut into vines and chop down vines that were blocking exits. And also, I could use it as I was falling from a jump to grab the wall.
Oh.
Or I could use it to climb walls that were otherwise not scalable. Very cool.
That is cool.
But Valkyrie Profile, I haven't played too much of it. I've only experimented with it for a couple minutes and was like overwhelmed. But essentially the way that it works, kind of its trademark system, is having battles, two-dimensional battles, where you control four characters in like pseudo real time. And each character is mapped to a face button on your controller.
Okay.
And you can launch their attacks kind of to create like your own like on-the-fly combos.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really complex and interesting. The way it manifests in this game is that each character appears to have a meter that is broken over, well, over time. You like the game just gives you more characters and more like attacks because it's a prototype and it just wants you to try shit out.
Gotcha.
Eventually, you wind up with four characters, one for each button, with three attacks each, and you. The attacks all have meters associated with them, and you can kind of unleash them at any time, and it's very interesting. Because you can kind of create your, like I said, you can kind of create your own combos and like use the attacks strategically to kind of stun lock the enemies.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. And then there's also like a bar that's filling up top, which you can use alternately to defend with an individual character or with your entire team, with corresponding penalties to your bar. Or you can use the same meter to perform special attacks. So there's kind of an interesting tension between saving meter for blocking powerful enemy attacks, because if you don't block, you're going to die, basically. Or you're going to get worn down quickly, versus like using your meter to perform special attacks. And each character, depending on who unleashes the attack with the meter, can do different attacks. And I actually discovered a healing attack, because there was, as far as I could tell at first, there was like no way to recover your characters.
Oh, jeez.
You were just getting slowly worn down, but I discovered that the last character you get has a healing attack. Because the game is like tricky, and you feel like you get it, but then at the very end, it throws a boss at you, and the boss is like the hardest shit ever.
Oh, Jesus! Okay,
so
way really over my head.
Yeah, it's a really interesting little game, and it's cool because it kind of starts out just feeling like utter chaos, but then you start to kind of think semi strategically about managing these four characters. But it is a little exhausting to kind of like deal with all four different meters, think about defending the relevant character versus defending with all characters at once and take the penalty, save your special meter without accidentally unleashing the attack that you wanted to save for the special meter. So there's a lot of shit going on, basically.
Yeah. Do you think there's any way of like conveying that or simplifying it for somebody who's more like myself, who is not too skillful with all those layers?
Do you mean like for me to tell you how it works, or
for the game design to kind of be more approachable without being dumbed down?
Yeah, the game definitely tutorializes. I wish it would tell you, like, it's like, hey, don't forget to guard, but then it doesn't tell you what the guard button is, which is like a really stupid mistake. But the game does a pretty good job of throwing a lot of tutorials your way to kind of like help you understand what the hell is going on. And it only starts you with one person.
Okay.
Which makes it a lot easier. Like, you start with one person with one attack, and then it's like, hey, after like your third battle, it's like, hey, you can attack two times now.
Oh, nice.
And then it's like, hey, you actually have a second party member now. Hey, you can attack three times now, and your second party member can attack twice. Hey, you have a third. Now you have a fourth. You know, like, it's slow.
Gosh, that reminds me a little of like Rainbow Moon, but with more characters.
Possibly. I never touched Rainbow Moon, but it is definitely very Valkyrie Profile. Like, it is wearing its influences on its sleeve. I would say the Metroid-y stuff, I really loved the axe. I thought it was a really cool item.
Mm-hmm.
The actual, like, it didn't seem like exploring the environment really netted that many benefits other than finding a couple golden variants of enemies that were a little harder to kill and seemed to maybe unlock more attacks for the... I don't know. It's not clear to me what I gained by exploring yet, but this is just a prototype, so it's not... There may be more, you know, there may be more coming there. But it's definitely an interesting mashup, and I think it works better than I thought it did when I watched the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's cool. It looks good. I mean, it's Lab Zero, and, you know, they have amazing art, and
yes,
Skullgirls.
Absolutely.
Everyone loves the art in that game. You know, this is another, as far as I can tell, 2D game. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's like 2.5
or just, what have you.
Yeah, maybe it's using the same Guilty Gear shit, but I think it might be two-dimensional. But, you know, it looks good. People should probably try it out. I think it, Lab Zero might have enough goodwill and enough explaining of why they need their money that they might actually get it. Because I don't know if you recall.
With their launch of extra characters for Skullgirls, they were very transparent about the cost of publishing.
Exactly.
And creating content for video games.
Exactly.
And people were like, that's unrealistic.
Yeah, they broke the whole thing down. So I feel like if they ask for a bunch of money, people are going to be like, oh yeah, they know what they're doing. So they might get it. They have only like 150,000 right now. I don't know how long their campaign's been running for. My initial reaction is like, this is a way more niche title than fighting games are. But, you know, it has Metroid stuff, so it might be the Metroid might be the bait that lures people into the weird Valkyrie profile RPG shit. So
then it may just be the name. You know, it's like, hey, it's from the makers of Skullgirls,
you
love them already. It's Lab Zero.
Yeah, Lab Zero. But again, you know, hey, free shit. I'm getting a lot of free stuff these days, and I'm glad to play some free stuff.
It's always nice.
But yeah, I think that pretty much covers my feelings about that. Moving right along, this is actually the last thing I played, and I think the most noteworthy. I started and finished Undertale. I say finished. I'm actually still playing it, but. I did complete the game. And Undertale is a PC RPG made by...
What is an RPG?
What do you do?
What's an RPG?
Is this a philosophical question, or is this a joke question?
PC RPG. It's a lot of letters.
it's a pretty cool rapid penis...
Goer. Yep.
Googler.
Sweet. Anyway, keep going.
So it's an RPG for the PC. It very heavily takes its influences from Earthbound, I would say is kind of the very obvious inspiration here. But it is not just like an Earthbound fan game. Far from it. It is a good-ass game. And it might be one of the best games I've played this year, maybe. I'm really not sure yet. Yeah, it's really something. It is... As far as I can tell, it was made by one person with, you know, a few assets provided by friends and other people. A guy who calls himself Toby Fox. I guess he used to make music for Homestuck or something, which I've never really gotten into that dark world. But it is very much a standalone experience. Yeah, I know. You don't know Homestuck?
Homestuck?
It's like some weird, like, interactive webcomic where people go crazy about it. Where you can, like, it's like a game, but it's also a comic.
Don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I was hoping you were just cutting out when you were saying Homestar, and it was like a clip in the audio.
No, it's not Homestar.
Oh.
But anyway, Undertale. So it's very like Earthbound in that it's very funny and very quirky, and the humor in this game, it like I would say 100% of the time for me, but for many other people, you know, 90% of the time. Lands really well. So it's great humor. It's not just like juvenile bullshit or you know, like trying too hard or anything like that. Super funny humor, but also just like Earthbound has that ability kind of like because of its levity, when it gets serious, you take it very seriously. And it's one of those games that can be hilarious but also like heartrending at the same time.
Gotcha. So like Earthbound, is it like a random battle encounter RPG classic thing?
Yes. So the other kind of obvious Earthbound inspiration is that when you get into battle, it's the same kind of like low budget Dragon Quest thing where like the monsters are all just black and white drawings and they're like pixely black and white drawings and they look really cool. But they're like clearly not. They're like on a budget, you know. Like they intentionally look like they're kind of on a budget. And all the monsters, just like in Earthbound, all the monsters are like little mini stories of their own. Like they have, you know, unique attacks. And I'll talk about the battle system in a minute because that's a really interesting element of this game. But they all have unique attacks. You know, instead of just like, you know, blah 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 attacks, it'll be like, you know, Froggit, you know, you know, hops at you. You know, it'll each character will attack in a way that it isn't just like announcing an attack. It's like they did something quirky, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of the Earthbound
thing. They have a tell beforehand.
Exactly. And similarly, you actually have your own contextual ways of interacting with enemies. And that's, I guess I should talk about the battle system because I'm kind of getting around the edges of it. So the way the game works, it's kind of, in every battle you have a choice. You can either fight enemies and mm-hmm. kill them, or you can try to talk to enemies and work with enemies and find a way to end the fight without actually fighting them.
Hmm.
And I would say, you know, the fighting enemies has kind of a timing element, which is kind of cool. Although the defending element is really cool, and I'll talk about that shortly.
Okay.
But the talking to enemies is the really interesting one, because every enemy, like every single enemy in the game that you fight, has a different set of contextual commands that you can do with that enemy. So let's say you're fighting the frog. I think the frog, you can either check him out to look at him and get like a really vague hint as to what you need to do to like pacify him. Or you can like encourage him or like put him down or something. So that's like the first enemy in the game. But then as you get far, and depending on how you interact with this frog, like I think you have to encourage him, and then he's like, he doesn't understand, but he's happy and he lets you go. Mm-hmm. But then later in the game, you encounter like a dog enemy. Mm-hmm. And like you have a whole bunch of options. Like you can pet it, you can beckon it, you can ignore it, you can like roll over in front of it, you can do all these different things. And the game increasingly kind of ups the ante in the weird, interesting, puzzly solutions to like fighting enemies without killing them.
Mm-hmm.
And fighting enemies without killing them is important because depending on how you play the game, the world reacts to you as a character.
Sorry to interrupt here quickly. With all those options, like you were giving examples with a dog, do they ever feel, are they frivolous? Or do each of them,
they're not frivolous. All the options are there for a reason. Like, some of them will lead to little jokes of their own. Like, I think I mentioned to you that when there's a particular dog that when you encounter him, you need to pet him and you don't need to stop. Like, you need to just keep going until it's ridiculously unreasonable.
Okay.
Because it's just so stupid and so funny. And like, every enemy, when you try to do shit to them, they always react in one way or another. Like, it's not just like you pet the dog and then the dog attacks you or something. It's like you pet the dog and he did this. Like every action you do, the developer has thought about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not just stuff that's just there for no reason to just be a red herring. It's just like it's stuff that either fleshes out the monster more, or you know, maybe makes it a little harder for you, or does something.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
But to get to the other cool battle element, the way that so no matter whether you're attacking the enemies or trying to like reason with the enemies in one way or another, you're probably going to have to defend yourself. And the way that the game handles that is it's basically like a bullet hell. And the ways that the enemies' attacks have character is that each like attack has its own interesting bullet pattern, or like it's not just bullets. Like some of them will be like a little doggy running across the screen, or you know, like missiles launching from little missile launchers that go up and then come down, or a bunch of bones flying across the screen, or an enemy crying and swinging left and right across the screen, and the tears fall down and you have to dodge the tears. Like lots of really interesting ways of having attacks to convey moods, emotions, all kinds of things. It's really cool.
That is really cool. That reminds me of like the surprising part of the first Skylanders game, where I'm like, oh my god, there's like a secret bullet hell game in here.
Yeah, it's pretty upfront about being bullet hell-y, because more or less the first enemies you fight are like that. And it's cool because, without spoiling too much, every time you fight like an important enemy, the game will throw a wrench into the bullet hell, and it just continually surprises in the ways that it like subverts its own systems. So like you become accustomed to just being this little red heart on a screen that moves around trying to dodge the enemy's attacks, and then the game's like, hold on, actually, now you have gravity and you're going to fall.
Ooh.
And you have to jump over attacks now.
Huh. Okay.
Lots of really cool little stuff like that. And then it'll be like, hold on, now you can only move along three different rails. And it has just enough of those little surprises like that to really keep you engaged in the system there. And it's so full of interesting surprises. And the other cool thing about this game is that it's very, so like I said, it's very Earthbound, but it's also kind of very, there's a lot of homages to Japanese RPGs, but there's a lot of subversions of stuff that you would just expect in a Japanese RPG, like selling items in a store.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have that option, but everyone will be like, what are you doing? Or like, even staying in an, like, they're like, I don't want your sticks, you know, like, why do you think I would buy this shit? Like, I'm trying to make a living here. Or like, you'll go to stay in an inn and there'll be lots, and without, again, because this game, you don't want to have this game spoiled in a big way, because it really is just such a delightful minute.
Every moment is charming.
Exactly. It is just, it's a short game, only about 6 hours, and it's just like bursting at the seams with charm. Mm-hmm. But like, for example, the convention of the inn is poked fun at. You go to an inn and it's definitely not what you expect when you get in there. What was I saying
before? I'm intrigued. I will be playing this next week for sure.
Yes, you owe it to yourself to play it. It is a superlative title. As I was mentioning before, your actions. So the main thing that influences how the world develops is whether or not you kill stuff and to what degree you do it.
Kill them.
I guess I would say for people who are playing the game, you can you know, how you play the game is going to determine how the game ends. The first time through, I played the game killing some stuff and not killing other stuff, and it seems like that's probably the best way to experience it.
Okay.
But if you do that, you might want to commit to maybe playing through more than once.
Huh.
Just to see other stuff.
Does it impact the gameplay if you go one way or the other, or is it you can just kind of watch the ending on YouTube and be good that way?
Well, here's the thing. So it influences everything. Like, it influences a lot of little incidental dialogue. You can probably watch the game being replayed in another mode, but it definitely, you feel the influences, because I'll just say I'm replaying the game now, and it feels different the second time around. Uh-huh. I mean, not like hugely different, but there will be a lot of acknowledgments of like different approaches and stuff. And there also, I don't want to give too much away, but there also are a lot of like little cute moments that it's really fun to see what would happen if you did things differently. Like, stuff that doesn't influence the grand arc of the story, but mm-hmm. depending on how you choose, like, little funny shit unfolds. Like, it's just a game that it really rewards going through it a couple times. So you might even get to the end and decide, you know what, I would actually like to go through this again and see how reacting differently here would elicit a different humorous response. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that kind of game.
Cool.
And it's short enough that you could do that. I mean, perhaps it's not realistic, you know, if you want to kind of just move on to the next title, but I mean, I guess you could watch, you know, the love and peace ending versus the kill everything ending. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to, you probably would miss something along the way, I guess I would say.
No, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Because part of playing, you know, the peaceful mode mm-hmm. is like the puzzle of saving enemies, because not every enemy is easy to save.
Interesting. So this sounds like a situation where I need to get on my horse and play this next week so we can have a spoilerific discussion about it off air.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I understand the feeling. Okay. I will be doing this.
I want you to meet. This is how much I love this game. I want you to meet the characters in this world, because they're so, I just really enjoy them so much.
Cool.
They're very memorable. It's a short little game. It's not as big as even Earthbound or Mother 3, but it is. Yeah. It stands with them, which is more than I can say for any kind of fan game that I've seen before. So
that's great.
You owe it to yourself.
Okay, and it's on Steam, correct?
It's on Steam. You can play it on Mac. You can play it on PC. I guess it might come to Linux. There are some features which require PC-specific things, namely a keyboard. So,
oh, okay.
I'm not sure it's coming to consoles anytime soon. I'm sure they could be dealt with, but...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do I need a controller, or is it mouse and keyboard?
It's mouse and keyboard. Most of the time... Okay. I know. Most of the time, you're... Well, you could get a controller.
No,
but
I'm good with mouse and keyboard.
Okay. I was gonna say, if you do use a controller, have your keyboard handy just in case.
I like that WASD.
Well, I think it's arrow keys and then namely ZX. I know. It's kind of like RPG Maker.
No, that's fine. It's fine.
But it's worth it. It is totally worth your time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if there is one kind of slow-ish area, it's the very first area.
The game world doesn't.
It's not the hinterlands. The first area is over within, you know, half an hour.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, give the game a little bit of time to open up. Yeah. I doubt that it won't grab you, because honestly it grabbed me from the beginning, but it really shows its like amazingness once you get out of the first area.
Well, regardless, it's nice to hear it's JRPG-esque and it's only 6 hours. So that's a boon in itself.
Yeah, you're very correct. But it feels like it gets it. It gets all the shit that makes JRPGs cool, and while also pushing the medium in interesting directions. And it's made by, you know, just a normal dude, one guy.
Cool.
I want more of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, everyone buy that game.
All right, I will.
Sweet.
Yes.
And that actually covers it for me. I played Mario Maker. I just try to play that every week. But otherwise, hey, that's it.
That's it and that's all.
Yeah. I think we did the games. Do you want to talk about some news?
Nope, not really.
All right, we don't have to.
I mean, honestly, there hasn't been a whole lot going on, and we're already at an hour and a half, so...
Want to call it quits for now?
Is there one topic that is of interest to you that you want to bring up for a quick discussion or no?
Yeah, let's talk about one thing. Okay. So there are a couple little things. I'm just going to say a couple little things, and then maybe we'll talk about the one thing.
Okay.
Sucks that Maxis is basically dead, deader than it was. It's going to be merged with mobile. You heard about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Ugh.
Hey, how about that price cut on that PS4 that we all knew was coming?
Oh yeah, $350, right?
Yes, $50 off. Uh-huh. Something we could maybe talk about in the future. We don't even talk about it now. What about all those games getting pulled from iOS?
Oh, I'm not familiar with that. What's going on there?
A whole bunch of games have been pulled recently, and I'm sure a whole bunch more, because I think like Kotaku wrote about it literally after I put this down in our document. Ghost Trick, Bomberman by Konami, and Bioshock were all pulled from iOS, pulled from users' purchase lists.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's weird. Like,
once you delete them, they're gone.
They're gone forever.
And I don't think they work on iOS 9, maybe? I'm not sure. But it's just... Ugh. It's another one of those pitfalls of mobile gaming. It's a super bummer.
Super weird, yeah.
Yeah. I wish there was a way to ensure, you know, because I don't want to buy titles and then not be assured that I'll have them forever.
Get them in a cartridge form.
I'll get all my iOS games in cartridge form.
That's
from
the
now
way.
On.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're right, but we're moving away from that. So that's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing I do want to talk about, though, if just a little bit, did you hear about Microsoft buying Havoc?
Yeah, I did. I heard about that. Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, not really.
All right, fine.
I mean, they've straight out, like, it would be... I'm fairly certain they've straight out said this will not impact how Havoc will be licensed to individuals. So... There's not going to be any like, oh, your physics and your game is gone now.
It seemed like an incredibly aggressive play when I first heard about it, but it's good to hear that maybe it's not quite what I thought it was.
No, I don't think it's, I think it's just like this, let's get this middleware sewn up or something. Like it was cheap. Let's buy it. We're not going to do anything.
Get another licensing cash cow, essentially.
Absolutely, yeah.
That is the Microsoft way. Enter into costly licensing agreements with their rivals.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I this is just my opinion, totally uninformed. How old is Havoc at this point? What, 10 years?
God, very old, yeah. Plus? But it's a great physics engine, you know?
Sure is. Tried and true, but, you know... It might be
hilarious. Dark Souls ragdolls.
Yeah, it might be the time where it's where this is going to be the thing that the impetus to have people create better, like Havoc or like ragdoll physics engines, where we no longer have that same one single like death body boneless flop because they don't want to license it. Somebody's like, oh, I can take the bones out of the body myself.
Could be, yeah. It seemed pretty seismic when I first read about it, but now that you're kind of describing that they're not going to hold it and keep it locked down, no. Maybe it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
One follow-up question, totally unrelated. Do you have your Far Cry Primal pre-order in yet?
Oh, dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs.
When did 4 come out? Was that last year, I hope?
2000... Jeez, was it 14? I think
it wasn't.
So.
It was not this year. It was not this year.
It was. Oh God! It was. I don't remember because I didn't really play it very much.
But you did play it, right?
Yeah, I played it like for maybe 2 hours or 4 hours or something. It was
2014. So they managed to wait more than a year. Yeah. Bravo.
Dinosaurs are hot right now, though.
They are hot right now, but that ain't no Horizon, man.
Yep, and that game looks really boring because you know what was cool about Far Cry? Shooting things. You know what's not cool? Throwing spears at things.
Throwing spears ain't cool, but you just went silent.
Yeah, well, that ain't cool either.
I think that might be our cue to just shut this whole thing down.
Yeah, let's go prehistoric on this. B-hatch.
let's hit this thing with a meteor.
That's right.
And it's suffocate it with a dust cloud that blocks out the sun.
For a new dark age of dinosaur Camelot.
If we are going to end it with a meteor, don't we have to do like a 7-minute attack? Oh, wait, no. Is that supernova meteor? What is Sephiroth's like 3-minute attack?
Turn into a turkey named Genova. Make a turkey sandwich. Yes. Make a turkey sandwich.
I'm going to find out. I seem to recall that attack was actually made longer for the U.S. version.
Sure, why not? Because, you know, us fat Americans need to go make our turkey sandwich while we're doing our summons.
Yes, Supernova it was called.
Oh,
there we go.
Thank goodness.
Let's Supernova this effort.
Yep, let's do it.
All right, man. Want to call it quits?
Yes, sir. You want to take us away?
Sure. This has been, I believe we said, Boss Barrel Radio number 785.
On the nose.
And I've been Jeff Brewer.
I've been Griff Hoffman.
Who will be tomorrow? Nobody knows.
Tune in to see who will be.
Find out next time on Boss Barrel Radio.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right. See you, dude.
Bye.
The world calls for wet work.
Bitch!
And we answer.
Such a lust for revenge.
No greater good. No just cause.
What a load of bullshit.
Bitch! 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 Bitch